Father, right now as we stand in your presence and we're about to receive your word, God, would you open our hearts, open our eyes, open our minds, open our intellect. Most importantly, would you help us to surrender our spirit so that as your spirit begins to talk and begins to heal and begins to lift and begin to open our eyes, God, we want to receive from you and the people of God. Shout in a loud voice, amen. Yeah. Not about you, but as I was sitting here and I was listening to that rain, I said, God, I don't want to compete with that rain. So, Lord, if you don't mind, can anybody hear it? Not really. A couple of things. Really grateful to be here. Tauranga Moana has a number of fond and precious memories for our family. My young son, look at him, young. He was brought up in this beautiful city, and we spend a lot of years in business and serving the Lord here. And so we're so grateful to be back, and we're so grateful to be back here, actually. We're grateful to Pastor Alan and Alana and the years that they have walked alongside us. So we thank God for them. We're so thankful to Pastor Will and Nicole and for the years and the jokes that they put up with from me. And we're so grateful that we're able to be here and to bless you with God's word. So all of that out of the way, I want you to know a couple of things. I am not your conventional speaker. What does that mean? What does that mean? Things could get a little nasty, but it's okay. Don't be offended. If you're offended, it's your fault. Just so that you know. But I'm gonna bring a word that God's laid in my spirit for a few months now, but I really feel with all my heart that it's a word for us today. Actually, I believe it's a word for the nations, but more than anything else, I believe it's for the church. And I want to talk into it really quickly, but our key scripture tonight, if you're taking your notes, by the way, take notes, because there's people at the other church that need to hear this. So it's really important that you take notes to help them. Okay, so take notes. Proverbs 4, verse 23. And some of you will know that scripture. We're going to touch on it a little very, very soon. But just before we start, my son, my beautiful son, he recently got a tattoo. Got a tattoo of a heart, a spade, a diamond, and a club on his chest. But I'll deal with that later. Yeah. A little girl walks into a pet shop and she says, "Excuse me, sir, do you sell rabbits?" The shopkeeper melts his heart, gets down on his knee, looks her in the eye and says, "Oh, little cutie, do you like little white rabbits? Perhaps you want a cuddly little black rabbit. Maybe you want a soft, fluffy little brown rabbit." And the girl looks him in the eye and says, "I really don't think my python cares." One more. My wife believes that biting her lip makes it look all seductive and everything. But I haven't really got the heart to tell her it's your bottom lip, not your top lip. This morning I want to talk about the heart. And actually the Bible is super, super clear about how important it is that your heart is in the right condition. And see, as believers, we have a misunderstanding of what the heart truly and really is. And today I want to bring, highlight, underline, underscore, make bold this whole concept, biblical concept, the scriptural idea, the spiritual truth that it's all about the condition of our heart. In 1926, a horse was born. I know, I was there. No. In 1926, a horse was born in the beautiful Matros, near major city of Timaru. That's right. His name, Farlap. Hey, his name was Farlap. It's two Chinese words that simply mean this: sky flash. Farlap, Chinese words meaning sky flash. He ruled the racing world in both Australia and New Zealand, and before he was going to head to Americas to race, probably dominate in their racing, he died, unfortunately. But today you can go to the museum in Melbourne. You can see his skeleton, and what you will find. I'm not standing corrected. I'll just say, shut up. So in Melbourne, they're right, but they're wrong. So in Melbourne, you're right. You can find the skeleton in New Zealand, but in Melbourne, what you'll find is a representation of the maid horse. And they say that Farlap stands, I think it's just under 19 hands high, which is apparently almost 2 meters from the ground to the point of the shoulder, right? To the point of the shoulder, not to its neck, you know, like a horse's wife once asked her husband, why the long face? But anyway, to the shoulder, right, to the shoulder. And they say that he dominated the racing world in his time, and they discovered that when he finally died and they autopsied him, that they found his, you can go to the museum in Melbourne, you can go to the museum, and what you'll see is his heart preserved. And his heart is 13 pounds or 6-odd kilograms heavy, which is roughly about twice the size of a normal heart. They say because of the size of his heart, he was able to do and perform what he was able to do. If you're a child and you don't know pounds and you don't know kilograms, like my mother used to say, it's for you, it's 13 butters. So it's 13 butters heavy. I want to talk on the heart, and although the world does talk about it and sing about it, I believe as Christians, it's super important that we are able to know and deal with it. Or else we fall for the misconceptions that the world will have you believe it is, i.e. Elton John and Kiki D. Don't go breaking my heart. I wouldn't if I tried, right? And then old Dame Celine, you know, I believe that my heart will go, you know. So they've all got, and of course, you know, Walter's favorite, Billy Ray Cyrus, you know, don't break my heart, my achy, breaky heart. But I believe that the world instinctively knows that there is something about the heart of us that is important. And this morning, if you go with me, we're going to have a look at that key verse out of Proverbs, verse 23. Keep your heart, listen, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow or spring the issues of life. And the New Living Translation simply says it like this: guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Can I suppose a concept or an idea that all of our problems that we're facing are not problems that come from the outside in, but more they are problems that are from the inside out? See, Solomon recognized something about the human heart and its state that was super, super important for us as believers to grasp and to understand, that if we don't guard our heart, if we're not mindful about what's coming out of us, then before long, we're unchanged. We're making a mess. Everything from the outside has a super heavy effect. And this morning, I want to throw the idea that every trouble that you are currently facing, every issue that you are currently in, every mindset, belief, and idea that is currently pushing and crunching against your life is because you're not allowing your heart You're not guarding your heart. You're not submitting all of those things to God from your heart. And so all that's happening is we're reacting. Yeah? Does that make sense? Okay. The world obviously hasn't got this in spades, but they have a very natural concept or idea of this. But I want you to know that if everything goes great around you, this is the idea of the world, if everything's going great around you, then you're happy. Anybody believe that? If only my husband, if only my paycheck, if only my car, if only my house, if only this, if only that. If all of that was going great, then everything about me is happy. How many of you believe that? Don't put your hand up, it's a lie, but how many? Too many, right? Too many believe that. But the Bible actually says something quite contrary. Regardless of what's going on around us, regardless of what our money looks like, what our house looks like, what our car looks like, what's going on in our relationships, no matter what's going on with our boss, ooh, that boss, you know, all of these things, no matter what's going on, the condition of your heart will determine the victory that you receive or whether or not you will be a victim at the hands of what's going on around you. Amen? Oh, by the way, if you're hearing me for the first time, let me just simply lay down the rules of Pastor Aki. When I preach, it's like a conversation, right? But like most conversations I'm in, I do all the talking. All you've got to do is respond by saying things, yeah, amen, good stuff, all right? So, you know, that's kind of the rules of engagement when it comes to come to me preaching, yeah? Amen. And like I've said, if you're old, you say, amen. You know, if you're old Pentecostal, preach it, right? And if you're young, you say, what up? So just, you know, so whatever works for you, but it's a conversation and it's a response. I want you to know that out of your heart flow the issues of our lives. That's an amen moment. You hear me pause and look at you strangely. Out of your heart flow the issues of life. Let me put it to you this way. Unhappiness doesn't flow from outside, then it doesn't flow from the outside in, it flows from the inside out. Depression doesn't flow from the outside in, it flows from the inside out. Anger, I don't know about you, but I've yet to find somebody flipping out, I mean really flipping out, you know, swear words and cussing and breaking fridge doors and all of this stuff, who kind of just said, it wasn't my fault, anger just flowed through the room and got a hold of me. No. Anger came out. Why? Because out of the issues of our lives flow life or destruction. Yet we don't understand just how important it is to guard our heart against such things. And this morning, I want to encourage you, it is vital that we guard our hearts. Vital, not optional. It's not optional. Too many people are running. Now again, I love the altar. It's where we get altered. But too many people run to the altar instead of running first to prayer and getting God to recondition their heart. And so all of the mess that's happening around our lives, we don't recognize that it's actually us needing to deal with the stuff inside our lives. And so when it's not working, we go, oh, please, Pastor Will, pray for me. And we run to the altar. And then what happens is we get prayed. Oh, thank you for that release moment. We walk out the doors. Hearts remains unchanged. Next little thing comes along, bang, we're defeated again. And then we're on our social media kind of thing, why, oh, why? That's not to ridicule or to put down anybody. But as believers, I just believe with all my heart that as believers, that there's the power for restoration and reformation and transformation. Now, if you got saved and you're almost identical to what you were before you got saved, but now you're going to heaven, there's a problem. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. That's another amen moment. Sorry, it's a little bit like a Gatling gun, right? I'm just going to, and then if you get hit, I know it's a silent point for you. But an amen is where you wake up and go, amen? Yeah. Amen. I didn't understand, but it sounds good. Anybody struggling with loneliness, worry, anxiety. You don't have to put your hand up. I've done the stats. I know that most, if there is somebody there, won't put their hand up, but it's okay, and I'll tell you why it's okay. It's simply an indication that you're not looking after your heart. Yes, yes, it's important to talk to people. Yes, it's important to get counsel. Yes, it's important to get wisdom and people pray over you. Yes, 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 those things are important. But nothing is more important than getting before God and saying, God, the condition of my heart is damaged. How did that happen? I'm going to admit it. My family of origin, they sucked. It's okay. Mine did too. My old man, he was a bit of a loser. My old lady, you know, I was telling my grandchildren, yes, I have grandchildren. I was telling my grandchildren, right, that I used to get whacked with a jug cord. Number one, they went, what's a jug cord? But anyway. My old lady used to just flip out. She used to flip out. And if she was in the kitchen, you hoped that her hands weren't anywhere near knives. But she would just flip out, man. She'd just grab something, you and you, right? Right. That's why back in the day we were great steppers in rugby. You know, we just nowadays children don't know how to run. They go, oh no, no, all traumatized. Right. Back in the day we were fast, man. We were fast. But it's family of origin, right? They set the normals. They set the condition of your heart. But when you come to the family of God and His power and the Holy Ghost in our lives, it is our purpose to rethink, reform, get before Jesus and say, thank you for saving my spirit. I know I'm going to heaven now. Thank you, Lord, that nothing can take me out of your care and out of my destination toward heaven with you. But while I'm on the planet, I'm a little bit messy. And maybe in order to let my light shine so that others may see and know the glory of the King of Heaven, maybe I want to get things right. Maybe I want to get things right. Or else I look just like those who are walking in a state of depression. Because I'm still walking in a state of depression, even though I'm living with the power, the transforming word, and His Holy Spirit that's able to take me from glory to glory to glory. But instead, I'm just going to try to make the next Sunday. I'm just going to try to make today's Wednesday. Oh, Jesus, oh, Jesus. You know, and again, remember, take notes, because this ain't for you. This is for those guys that go to church down the road, right? But it's really important that we get something for. And if we don't get the condition of our heart right, then the little things will snap us. Oh, did you hear what he said? Oh, I'm leaving this church. Oh, did you see what she's wearing? Oh, I'm leaving this church. Did you? Man, I don't know about that sound guy, but that last preacher, they're Pastor Rocky or Darky or whatever his name is. They had him up so loud. I'm leaving this church. Right? So how many of us simply don't recognize that these offenses, these little nuggets of gold are actually nothing more than God's way of saying, come on, the condition of our heart needs to be readjusted. Well, isn't it a good idea that maybe you submit these issues to my life, to me, and let me transform your life? Come on, give me an amen, somebody. That's the journey that we're in, amen? Here we go, joy flows out. How many of you know joy flows out? I used to be in a few rugby teams. Because let's face it, I'm too fat to play soccer. But I mean, I used to play in a few rugby teams, and I used to write some of the guys that we'd, and I was in high school, but we'd see some of these other guys from some other schools, and you could tell that they lied about their age. They're like, they're meant to be 15 and 16. They look like 40 with three kids running along the side, you know, full beards, you know. This can't be right, you know. But my mates would kind of look and go, look how big they are. This can't be right. What are we? And I would say to them, it's okay, man. I got Jesus. And they go, what's Jesus got to do with it? I said, well, with Jesus, man, we can be confident. If you lack confidence, look at me. Look at me. You can borrow some of my confidence. And we can do this, you know, and then after we lost 44-0, but I mean, but what happens, you get off the field, the most important and the key player to any team, to any church, is that person who shows up with joy and enthusiasm, flying out of their spirit. They may not be the most talented. Kia ora, Cam. No. They might. No, I love you, Cam. Where are you? There he is. There he is. They don't leave church. Don't get offended. Right. They they might not be the best looking. Kia ora, Rocky. Right. So there's lots of things about them, but what they are, they're the most enthusiastic. They're the most joyful. I don't know about you, but I've run church teams, volunteers, and paid staff, lots and lots of things. Man, all I need is one person who would just say, I'm here, man. Come on, let's go. Come on, let's go. What are we doing? I don't know. How do we do it? I don't know. Shall we do it? Yeah. What do we do? I don't know. Let's just go. Everybody loves joy and enthusiasm. But all that joy and all that enthusiasm is nothing more than an indication of a heart. And all of the worry, the concern, and the, oh, why aren't the songs up? I can't find the PDF for this. Oh, why? Oh, I didn't see my name on the roster. Again, it's just an indication of the heart. Not picking on anybody, by the way. I've used the excuse, but I've used it enthusiastically. But it's an indication of the heart. Church, come on. Shall we get our heart right? Shall we guard our heart? Amen? Well, I'm going to get to the script. This is just my opening, by the way. Belief flows out. Praise flows out. Faith flows out. Too often we go and we expect that the worship leader, who's got their own lives going on, and they're really just able to get here and they're serving super, super well. But too often we show up in their house, we got zero faith, we got zero praise, we got zero worship. And just like me, who used to go to school with zero lunch, I'd have to borrow it from the Pākehā boy who was willingly giving it. We come to church empty and we ask the worship leaders to give us some worship. But isn't that just the condition of our heart? We come having not read our Bibles, not gotten before the Lord in prayer, not even once in our week saying, Holy Ghost, what do you want to say to me in my life? And we expect the preacher somehow is going to borrow us his faith, his word, his expectation. Lovingly, church, can I simply say this? We're better than that. Amen? I want to say it with all my heart. You're better than that. We're better than that. God is building a family. He is building a church. But it's going to take some readjusting of our hearts. Going to cause us to do some things that we don't like to do. As many of you know, therapy, mostly mental therapy, has skyrocketed in the Western world. And it doesn't make sense to me. How does the Western world have so much food, yet we're suffering from so many people starving and having, you know, food-related eating disorders and poverty and not enough food to go to lunch? It's strange to me. How can we have a free healthcare in our country, but more people are being sick rather than ever before? I don't know about you, but I grew up at a time of a school of nearly 1,000 people. We knew, everyone in school knew the two people who had asthma. Nothing against asthma. Remember those days? Nowadays, seems like everybody's got something. There's something not right. There's something not right. This has nothing to do with anything, really. But I'm always asking myself, man, we have got to start asking some serious questions. And if we're going to ask some serious questions when we look at the world, shouldn't we then also be asking some serious questions like, I've been in the Lord 5, 6, 10, 12, 50 years, and there are things on my life that are just going unchanged. Something's wrong here. Something's not right. So this morning, my encouragement, church, is to say, I think we need to ask those questions. Lovingly get before the Holy Ghost. Get before those people who love you, but love God more than they love you. That's an important point. Too many of us are messing with people who love God, but they love you, but they love you more than they love God, so they're never truthful or honest. There's a moment for you. We got to get with people who love God, and they love God and love you, but they love God more than they love you, and they'll tell you truthful. That's love. All right, let's get into the message. It's okay. It's only a 54-point message. 10 minutes to go, my son goes. Proverbs 4, verse 23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. I propose that the condition of my heart, the condition of your heart, will actually determine the quality and the direction of your life. Another verse says it like this, out of the heart spring the boundaries or the limitations of our lives. You know, your heart limits you, but the limitations can be moved. And if we're not addressing the limitations of our heart, then we must be comfortable to live in the boundaries or the limitations that we've allowed to be set. Does that make sense? If you need the jet ski, the bank account to look a certain number, the wife, the husband to behave a certain way before you feel joy or happiness, that's a limitation on your heart. If you need church to look, sound, and act a certain way before you feel like I can belong here, that's a limitation on your heart. And I'm not saying these limitations are unfair or that they are wrong. I'm saying the boundary that your heart determines your boundaries or your limitations. So it's super, super important that we're guarding out those areas of our lives. I want you to know that your life is limited, is only limited by the current condition of your heart. Anybody feeling any limitations this morning? It's okay, you can throw your hand toward me. Anybody feeling limited? No? Ooh, I'm in a room of limitless people. And we're all feeling it, right? Yeah, throw your hands up so then they feel encouraged. Yeah. Anybody who's feeling the limits of your heart, I want you to know that's temporary. It's temporary based on whether or not you will allow God to increase the limits of your heart. Then you will receive more. Too often we don't receive more because we accept the current limitations. Yeah? I would love to believe that what the world says is true. That if we have all the money, if we have all the fame, if we have all the goods, if we have all the everything, then life would be great and life would be worked out. But we all know they wouldn't be selling Women's Weekly if that was true. Because the truth of the matter is they're jumping from bed to bed, to gender, to country, to business. We're living in a world where people truly believe that the external somehow will satisfy the internal. And the truth of the matter is that we as believers must walk in a way that we know that regardless of what's going on the outside, when our inside, when our wayward, when our heart before the Lord is set and it's set, founded on His word and upon the promises of His word, then the experience that I experience right now is only temporary, but I am leaving this temporary and I'm going to some eternal. So today I said it right. Amen? Ezekiel 36:26, New King James says, I will give you a new heart and a new spirit, and I will put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I want to take a moment just this morning as I begin to wrap up. When you carry a heart of stone, you know it. I'll tell you how you know it. Things feel disappointing. Things feel disappointing. You feel let down. You feel like there's areas of your world that you're just not getting help or victory in. That's called a heart of stone. In other words, it's an area of hardness of our lives. As believers, I'm not saying that we shouldn't sometimes be feeling difficult. I'm saying as believers, it's important to know that this heart of stone, this disappointment that we're currently walking in, God wants to take that from us and replace it with a heart of flesh, a softness. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty sure hearts of stone do not pump blood. So therefore, a heart of stone does not bring life. And if there's an area in our life right now, it may be making its way out as disappointment, maybe making its way out as offense, it may be making its way out as worry, depression, X, Y, Z. That's an indication that there's a heart of stone in operation, and God wants to replace it with a heart of flesh. Anybody else in the room want a heart of flesh? Thanks, Joe. Well, this morning, as we wrap it up, hey, 3 minutes, awesome. Hey, early for me. Oh, thank you, thank you. I just felt my heart of snow. It is actually, I'm doing pretty well. But this morning, I want to encourage us. Could we walk in a manner of truth this morning? It's really not my intention to be popular today. It's my intention to usher in the changing power of the Holy Spirit into this room, and that perhaps God might shift some hearts and move some hearts of stone and replace it with a heart of flesh. So can I encourage you, would you close your eyes, would you open your hands? Perhaps for you, you might want to stand. Others may just want to sit. It's okay. This is a moment in the presence of God that God wants to deal just with you. And in your heart of hearts, you just want to say, God, forgive me. Forgive me for holding on to those things that have made my heart hard. Forgive me. Forgive me for focusing on those things that have caused me to drift from your grace, and therefore drift from my grace. Sorry, from your grace working its way through me to others. And God, today, I come. I surrender. In the words of that song, I say, God, I make room for you to do whatever you want. If that's you this morning, I'm going to ask you to be brave, and I'm going to ask you to be bold. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. Before you stand, I want to ask you to stand to your feet, but before you do, just in your standing to your feet, you're saying, God, I am prioritizing time with you to recondition my heart. Help me to guard the areas of my heart that I've let slip. If that's you, can I encourage you, would you stand to your feet? God, you see many standing here this morning, Father, in the name of Jesus. And even those who perhaps are a little bit afraid to stand, God, you see their willingness to serve you. God, would you pour your Spirit out on hearts and lives today? As we stand here, God, we're saying, right now, Jesus, you are more important than the things I've made important today. I'm coming back to you. Thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for all that you're doing. And for the changed lives, the changed life that I'm about to walk into. Thank you, Jesus. In your mighty name we pray. Amen.